Let me read a couple of things to you. This is, as we kind of linger a little bit, lay the foundation for this manual for normal Christianity. So these are some territories that we've covered, but we don't have much time to do background and explain. Jesus has said to them again in verse 4, and gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but he commanded them to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then in verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about this being a witness. It's not, he didn't say, and you shall go do witnessing, though we know that's one of the things that happens. We go do witnessing. But the churches I grew up in and the world I kind of was in, the evangelical world, we thought that's all that meant, that you just went out and did witnessing. And we were fulfilling that, we were happening. But he doesn't say that. He said, you shall be witnesses once you've received the promised power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, as they're replacing Judas, and they basically draw straws, and it ends up being Matthias, the one that they choose. And he says in verse 22, well, let's start in verse 21. In selecting this new person, it is therefore necessary that of the men you have accompanied, that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John to the day that he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection. And there was Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, and Justus, who met that qualification. That from the baptism of John, they, along with the other apostles and women and the others who were there, they were from the beginning with them, even to the point of resurrection. And that was the qualification. There were two of them, Justus, or Barsabbas and Matthias, and Matthias was chosen sovereignly by the Lord. But the interesting statement he says here is that they were witnesses with us of the resurrection. And in chapter 2, as Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he says, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we were all, and it said he was standing with the 11, we were all witnesses. Now when you read that, those scriptures, it seems to indicate that in chapter 1, in verse 22, and this verse in verse 32 of chapter 2, that he's saying those are qualified who've seen Jesus, the risen Christ, who are a witness of the resurrection. And if they're witnesses of the resurrection, they're called out to bear witness of his resurrection. That's a qualification for being an apostle. And then as he stood with the 11, he says, we're all witnesses of that. But the issue is this, if that's what he's talking about, if he's saying, if you've witnessed the resurrection, if you witness the physical resurrection of Jesus, the historical resurrection of Jesus, then you're among the 12, then he didn't have to wait till after Pentecost for them to go and be witnesses. They had already, pre-Pentecost, borne witness of the resurrection of Jesus. And so it's important as we lay this kind of foundation for the book of Acts that you understand what he's saying here. Because if this is about just bearing witness of the historical Christ, which they did, then Jesus wouldn't have said to them, don't go be witnesses until you receive the Holy Spirit, because they've already borne witness. They saw it. They could share the testimony that Jesus is risen from the dead. What he's talking about here is the qualification to be a witness is witnessing, bearing witness of a personal, internal, experiential enjoyment of the resurrection of Christ in your own life. That's what he's saying to them. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, wait for the Holy Spirit to come, the Holy Spirit's job is to make real in us the risen Jesus and the power of his resurrection. So he wasn't saying that you were qualified to bear witness because you believe in or you saw the historical resurrection. It's not enough just to tell people that we know, we believe the Bible, that Jesus was risen from the dead. That's why apologetics are fun, but they're never going to win the world. It's someone who's been invaded by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in them has borne witness to them that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, And that risen Jesus is now operative in them and has transformed their personal daily experience. They're moving in the power of the resurrection. In John chapter 15, in this last great conversation, after 3.5 years of discipleship that Jesus has with these guys, it says in chapter 15, verse 26, "When the Helper," which is of course the Holy Spirit, "comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." Wow. It's not about the historical resurrection. It's about the personal, experiential resurrection of Jesus. He says, the Holy Spirit's job is to bear witness of me. And then he says, "And you will bear witness also." He says, you'll bear witness of me after the Holy Spirit has borne witness of me in your life. And what being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about is that even if you're an evangelical, Bible-believing, born-again person, that taking what you believe historically to be true, that Jesus rose from the dead, when the Holy Spirit fills you, it makes it experientially true in your own personal life. And you begin to live in the power of the risen Christ. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians chapter 1? Amen? "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know experientially what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of the power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead." And the word "know" there again is the word experiential knowledge, that you would know experientially the power that rose Jesus from the dead, operative in your life and my life. And that promise, he says, that possibility, that potential is for those who believe. If you're a believer, God doesn't want you just to believe the Bible that Jesus rose from the dead. God wants you to experience Jesus risen from the dead, released in your life. Not just Christ living in you as a benevolent, safe, loving Jesus, but one who broke through, conquered the grave, who busted out. We've used this before. He kicked, he destroyed, he knocked out the baddest cat in town, death. And having done that, we live with the reality and the expectation that there's nothing that I'll ever face, whether it's daily temptation or my life being threatened or whatever it may be because I'm taking the gospel. Nothing, nothing is too big for him. He's already proven he's knocked out the baddest cat in town, death. And there's nothing you'll face that the risen Christ, who's released by the power of the Spirit, can't deal with. In John chapter 16, says this, "The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will glorify me. He will take what's mine and shall disclose it to you, make it real to you, manifest it in you. Now here's what Jesus has. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take what's mine and make it real to you. For all the fullness of deity is embodied in Jesus, and you have been made complete in him." See, what happens, and I don't have time to get into all this for UCTKers, what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, experientially, this whole thing about you being in Christ and Christ being in you becomes real to you. Just like he was in the Father was in him, the gospel reading this morning. When the Holy Spirit fills you, it becomes experientially true to you, in your face, real to you, that you're in Christ, and because you're in Christ, Christ is in you, and the Christ that's in you conquered death, and there's nothing you'll ever face again, big or small, that he's not big enough for. Because he conquered death. Now, as you all know, the word witness, people tell me this, remind me this all the time, you know that word witness means martyr. The word witness actually means witness. It means testify. But it came to represent death. The word doesn't mean to die. It means to bear witness. But as the world observed the way Christians lived their lives, they were so radically set apart, the early church so radically set apart. And because they lived in the reality of the resurrection, what if somebody killed you? So what? Resurrection wins. When you face temptation, resurrection wins. When you face the works of the devil, people need ministry, demons need to be cast out, folks need to be healed. The risen Christ is one with you. You're in Him, He's in you. Resurrection wins. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we're born again to a living hope, not just a dying hope one day, but to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That in every situation, every circumstance, there's no need to despair. You have living hope because Jesus is risen from the dead, and that Jesus risen from the dead lives inside of you, wanting to live His life out through you. And that's what the Holy Spirit bears witness to us about. And when you live in the power of His resurrection, you're willing to give your life up. And therefore the name martyr came to be associated with people who are dead to themselves. And they're living in the power and the purpose and the intention and the destiny of another who's already conquered death. I read this one more verse. I like this verse a lot. Revelation 12. So I hope all this makes sense. One of the reasons I'm speeding along a little bit too is that as soon as I get through doing this, I have to leave. I have to go to Miami. I'll be back Tuesday. I heard rumors that I'd be back like a week from now. I'll be back Tuesday evening, but I have an Archbishop's Council meeting I have to lead in Miami, so I have to go catch a plane. This is chapter 12 of Revelation. It says they overcame the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb, because of what Jesus had done. It doesn't just mean because we're running around pleading the blood. It means because Jesus shed His blood. And because of their testimony. That not only did Jesus shed His blood, I've appropriated that. I'm a Christian. And they did not love their lives even unto death. They were witnesses. And a witness came to be one who had so surrendered their lives they were dead people, but alive in Jesus. That the person they had once been, they no longer were. And now they were supernatural people because the risen Christ lived inside of them. And they lived their lives not unto death. You see, if the devil knows you're not afraid, he can't ever win. And if Christ is inside of you, and He's already conquered the baddest cat in town, so you don't have to worry about that, then is that the worst enemy can do to you? Send you to heaven? I mean, the resurrection wins, right? Isn't what resurrection says? It's never too late. It's never too hard, it's never too big, it's never too impossible. He always wins. Revelation 6, He came conquering and to conquer. Isn't that a risen, resurrected Christ who's already beaten the baddest cat in town? You think He's afraid of lust? You think He can't handle greed or pride or fear or control or anger? Insecurity? He's already killed death. He's big enough for all that. And every one of those things, you just relate those things of the risen Christ who lives in you, thanking Him that He's your conqueror, He's your victory. And every ministry opportunity, every circumstance, because you're not afraid. You love your life unto death because of the resurrection. Those are witnesses. Those are holy martyrs. Not if you get slaughtered in the jungles of Africa, because you got slaughtered at the foot of the cross. You live every day as people who love not their lives unto death. That you've made the great exchange, the person you used to be no longer is, and now you're a new creation inhabited by the risen Christ. And Him and His resurrection life identifies who you are. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's a whole new I. I am crucified with Christ, the independent, lost, on my own, doing the best I can. Jesus died. I died. That person died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. That's the Christian life. That's the whole thing. Remember Acts? What's Acts? All the things that Jesus began to do and teach. The book of Acts is all about the things that Jesus continues to do and teach through me and you on this earth. That's the book of Acts. That's what the manual is all about. That's the theme of the manual. All that Jesus in His risen power continues to do and teach through you who make up His church. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.